The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness in the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Excuse me, I see something on the floor. Oh, don't know what that is. So, friends, there's probably nothing more unpredictable and beyond our control than the weather. With all the talk of climate change and everything, no matter what we do, there are other powers, other forces at work here that have been part of the whole creation since long before humanity ever appeared upon the face of the earth. There are other powers that are controlling these things, the whole power of creation and earth and gravity and all of that. And we know well that certainly over the last year and a half, we've had our share of the power of weather and its force here in the Northwest and in Oregon in particular. Last February, the ice storm, the mother of all ice storms, happened. Everything from Salem north. Albany didn't even have much ice. So everything from Salem north, the whole Willamette Valley and Portland and all that. We went to bed one night. It was a cold rain in February. You woke up the next morning, your power's out, and you look out the window. Trees are down. Everything is coated in, inches of ice and the weight of all that. And the electricity, some people got it. Some people never lost it. Others got it back in a matter of 1 or 2 days or 2 weeks or whatever it was. So it changed our life drastically over that time. And God bless the folks that work with PGE and all the nasty phone calls that they got from various customers who wonder when their power would be restored. The wildfires, the dry climate, the drought, all of that. Thanks be to God, we've had a lot of rain and everything. But all these sorts of things are forces that are beyond our control. And they frighten us. At times they frighten us because we run for cover. Growing up in the Midwest, those of you who maybe grew up in the Midwest and migrated out here, Oregonians don't know what a thunderstorm is. You don't know. Two claps of thunder is not a thunderstorm. Or one flash of lightning is not a thunderstorm. But when you have these powerful Midwest storms coming through on very flat land and the thunder that shakes the ground and the lightning that goes on, the tornado warnings and on and on and on. Hot, humid thunder showers. That's the weather forecast for the Midwest during the spring and summer months. All these forces that are beyond our control, in the end, really, there's nothing we can do except sort of protect ourselves, be careful, be smart, protect yourself, and then go out and clean up the damage afterwards. It goes on and on. And in the gospel today, we hear Jesus speaking about natural forces sort of being unleashed into this sort of catastrophic end. In this imagery that we always hear this time of year, the end of the one liturgical year and beginning of Advent. But there's a beautiful line in the middle of the reading that we could just sort of pass over that I think encapsulates for us the whole spirit of this. And that is, Do not be afraid. The Lord says, when you see all these things happening, stand erect. Don't be hiding in fear. Stand erect and raise your head and welcome the Savior, your Savior, who will come in the midst of all this turmoil. It's a deeply symbolic reading, that type of imagery far more familiar to the people of ancient times and the sort of apocalyptic imagery, we say. But it certainly warns us about the danger of being complacent, about the temptation to embrace the things of the world and all of their beauty, but all of their seductiveness, to embrace the things of the world too much, so much that it becomes all we live for. And when the Lord comes, we're surprised by His coming because we never prepared ourselves for that moment. Certainly now, during Advent, we are reminded of the three comings of Christ, the Jesus of history who came in time, to Mary's, yes, to the angel Gabriel, who said to her the first thing, do not be afraid. Mary's yes changed human history forever, and Christ came through her. God was no longer invisible. He became visible in the person of Jesus, God who took on our nature and wedded it forever to divinity, humanity, and divinity brought together in the person of Christ our Lord. Jesus came for a very short time, like a flash of lightning, a mere 33 years on this earth, and profoundly, through His ministry, changed everything. And did not come to frighten us, came to reassure us of His constant presence in the midst of what might seem forces out of control. How many times did our Lord say to His own apostles, do not be afraid? We hear throughout all of Scripture, angels, when they appear, always say the first thing is not hello, it's do not be afraid, overwhelmed by this display of divinity. And Jesus, after the resurrection, so many times said to His apostles as He appeared to them, do not be afraid. He didn't judge them for their abandoning Him and turning Him in as Judas did and Peter denying that he knew Him. He said nothing about that. He said, do not be afraid. Shalom, I am with you in the midst of all this catastrophe. Our Lord getting into the boat in the middle of the sea, the storm on the Sea of Galilee, as the apostles were crying out in fear that they were going to drown in the middle of waves and wind and all of that and pelting rain. Our Lord comes walking on the water and calmly gets into the boat and the storm stops. Do not be afraid. That's one powerful message, I think, as we begin our Advent season, that we should carry all of our life. And so Advent reminds us of that coming of God in time. And then His coming now among us. And we look forward, there's a very definite, even in our whole Christian perspective, a very definite looking forward, a very definite sense of hope and longing and expectation. We'll also hear, as you know, from John the Baptist, as we do all the time during Advent, get ready, prepare the way for the Lord. And this imagery then of standing erect is to be not afraid and welcome the Lord and be at peace about that. Do not be afraid. And so the Christ who is now with us as the risen Lord, that is how we know Him. We don't know Him as the apostles did before the resurrection. We know Him now as the risen Christ. His presence in His Word, certainly in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, where He becomes the food we eat. And then in all of the sacramental system of our church, Christ baptizes, Jesus forgives sins, His living ministry continues. And certainly in the faith we share, in the love that we share for one another, in the service of self-sacrifice that we provide for other, all these ways in which Christ continues to sustain His church. But if you look at periods of history, you see that there has never been an age in all of human history, as long as records have been kept, that there has not been some kind of turmoil and catastrophe and reasons to be afraid and destruction and all of that. Certainly this is a reference to the ancient peoples of the fall of kingdoms that boasted so grandly that they would dominate the world. Assyria, Babylonia, the Romans, the Holy Roman Empire, closer to our own day, Nazi Germany. Hitler very much intended to take over the entire world. The Soviet Union, communism, they're all gone. They're gone. They're not around anymore. And God alone remains. Christ alone remains. The church survives all of that. And the church still is here. It's one of the most ancient human institutions, probably the most ancient human institution, that has survived all of that through the power of God's sustaining presence among us. So do not be afraid, the Lord says, I am with you always. And then we look forward in Advent to a time where Christ will come again. And in our gospel, we hear allusions of that, of course, the Christ returning. I don't think Jesus is going to come as a little baby silently in Bethlehem. I think he's going to come, the power and glory and trumpets and angels. I think that's what it's going to be. I don't know, but I'm guessing he's going to make quite a show to let us know now is the time, it's over. And he gathers all the righteous to himself. We see that over and over again in the scriptures is when those images are used. So Advent is not a time to be afraid. It's a time to sort of check our faith. As Christians, we are people of hope and optimism that even in the midst of a pandemic that seems to be never ending, God is still with us and there is a way out and we've learned so much. So do not be afraid. Over and over, I think, is one powerful lesson for Advent, and to have hope and hold on to that, the promise that Jesus made. That's the story of our Christian life. So we live in longing, expectation, readiness to welcome the Lord, so that when he comes, we remember that birth in time and space at Christmas, we know that that began the whole story of why we hope and why we are here indeed. Let us be people of hope then and optimism and readiness to welcome the Lord at Christmas when he indeed comes.